the Bridal Veil, and Icebox Falls, which is tucked into a dense wooded area. I recently took a walk here with a friend who told me about something he learned while he was in Japan. In Japan, they practice something called forest bathing, or Shinrin Yoku. Shinrin in Japanese means forest, and yoku means bath. So Shinrin Yoku means bathing in the forest atmosphere, or taking in the forest through our senses. We all know how good being in nature can make us feel. We've known it for centuries. The sounds of the forest, the scent of the trees, the sunlight playing through the leaves, the fresh, fresh, fresh clean air. These things give us a sense of comfort. They ease our stress and worry, help us to relax and think more clearly. Being in nature can restore our mood, give us back our energy and vitality, refresh and rejuvenate us. But what exactly is this feeling that's so hard to put into words? This isn't exercise, it's not even hiking or jogging. It's simply being in nature, connecting with it through our senses of sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. Shinrin Yoku is like a bridge. By opening our senses, it bridges the gap between us and the natural world. Even a small amount of time in nature can have an impact on our health. A 1 or 2 hour forest bath will help you to unplug from technology and slow down. It will bring you into the present moment and de-stress and relax you. So how does one go about forest bathing? First, find a safe and familiar spot, like I did at Glen Falls House. Make sure you have left your phone and camera behind. You're going to be walking aimlessly and slowly. You don't need any devices. Let your body be your guide. Listen to where it wants to take you. Follow your nose. Take your time. It doesn't matter if you don't get anywhere. You're not going anywhere. You're savoring the sounds, the smells, the sights of nature, and letting the forest in. The key to unlocking the power of the forest is in the five senses. Let nature enter through your ears, eyes, nose, mouth, hands, and feet. Listen to the birds singing and the breeze rustling in the leaves of the trees. Look at the different greens of the trees and the sunlight filtering through the branches. Smell the fragrance of the forest and breathe in the natural aromatherapy. Taste the freshness of the air as you take deep breaths. Place your hands on the trunk of a tree. Dip your fingers or toes into a cold stream. Lie on the ground. Drink in the flavor of the forest and release your sense of calm. This is your sixth sense. It's a state of mind. Now you've connected with nature. Next up. For those who like a challenge and are a bit more goal-oriented and like to check things off your list, check out the Catskill 3500 Club. I was introduced to the Catskill 3500 Club by a friend who's a fairly serious hiker. The Catskill 3500 Club was founded in 1962, and it fosters an interest in hiking, specifically, obviously, in the Catskills. Membership is open to everyone who's climbed, on foot, each of the 33 Catskill peaks above 3,500 feet in elevation. If you go to their website, you'll find a schedule with guided hikes. You'll also find a list of the peaks, showing photographs of each peak, its elevation, a little history about each one, and what to expect on its trails. And if getting into that Catskill 3500 Club sounds like fun, or if you're one of those people who like bragging rights, then these are my three recommendations for local guides who can help you. First, upstate adventure guides. Next, hike on guides. And lastly, Rip Van Winkle adventure guides. These outfits also offer a range of options to get you moving, exploring, and immersed in the mountains. These incredibly knowledgeable, licensed guides know everything about being outdoors, from fishing to camping to snowshoeing, canoeing, kayaking, and more. They'll help you organize your outing and cover everything from family-friendly day hikes to long-distance multi-day backpacking excursions. They have programs for all ages, all skills, and can custom tailor any experience for you, whether it's you, by yourself, or a group. They also have classes and courses in things like how not to get lost. That would be a class I would need to take. How to read a map, how to use a compass for navigating, and how to smartly and safely plan a route. They'll teach you basic outdoor skills from how to efficiently pack your backpack, winter hiking safety, water safety, how to build a campfire, and even how to properly bushwhack through your journey if you're going off the beaten path. Have you heard of the Catskills Fire Tower Challenge? Historically, more than 100 towers, some built nearly a century ago, were used for early detection of forest fires throughout New York State because of their extensive views of the surrounding countryside. Today, 6 towers reside in Catskill Park and are maintained with assistance from a dedicated group of volunteers. Each are located on mountain summits and make for some of the best hiking destinations in the Catskills. Once you reach the summit, then climb the stairs of the towers themselves, you'll discover unparalleled 360-degree views of the surrounding park and mountains. So if you're a fairly experienced hiker, these should be in your reach. But if you want assistance, the local guides I mentioned can also help you climb all 6 of the Catskill Park towers: Balsam Lake Mountain, Hunter Mountain, Overlook Mountain, Red Hill, Upper Esopus, and Tremper Mountain. So whether you want to take a sweet little walk in the woods like I do, or if you hire an expert to help you get started, or someone just to keep you going, or if you're feeling more ambitious and want to join a hiking club, just remember, leave no trace. Whatever you bring in, make sure to bring out. See you on the hiking trail.
Thanks for tuning in to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. If you're interested in checking out an ongoing list of local recommendations, or if you have recommendations of your own to share, go to my Instagram at Roundtop Recommends or visit the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for the Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment archives and how to reach me. Talk to you next time.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, Hudson. Listener supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, and oh my gosh, I'm so used to saying director of the Hudson Area Library. I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia, and I am also from Hudson.
I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I am also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love. Books we hate.
Bookish things.
Things.
And that's what we'll do today, because that's what we do. But we want to wish everybody a Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. So who hosted the show while I was gone?
No one.
The show was canceled?
Yeah, because our show was on holidays 2 weeks in a row.
Oh.
So our poor listeners have had no Bound by Books experience unless maybe they were listening to reruns.
But we're back now.
Mm-hmm. We're back.
Making new stuff.
Yep.
And I read a lot of books over the holidays, but also in the past year. I finished my challenge. I read 648 books last year.
Yay.
You kept track of that?
Yeah.
How?
On an app.
Oh, I thought that you like did tally marks.
No.
Like, one. Yeah. Ew.
Yeah, on my
count
wall.
All those 5.
No, I just Goodreads, and I mark down when I'm reading a book, and then I mark when I finish it, and I give it a rating. So,
oh man, I wish I got to do the woo.
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 So who wants to talk about a book first?
I can talk about some literature. Like, they're not exactly books, but I've gotten into a Shakespeare class in my college, and so I'm going to be reading a ton of Shakespeare.
Yay.
A lot of which I've already read, which is fun. Mm-hmm.
Is there one that you're most excited about reading again, and is there one that you're most excited about reading for the first time?
I want to read Romeo and Juliet again, because, you know, it's a classic. It's a good one. It has tons of adaptations. One of my favorite adaptations of it is actually a movie directed by Baz Luhrmann, where everything is set in modern day, but they still speak the script as it's written. Mm-hmm. So it's all modern stuff. Instead of swords, there are like modern weapons. Instead of the prince doing the whole monologue at the beginning, it's told through a news broadcaster, actually, which is very interesting. And Leonardo DiCaprio is in it. But they are all still speaking the way the play is written. Plus, Baz Luhrmann's directing is like some of my favorite stuff. But I'm looking forward to reading that again. That's for the first time. Well, they're, it's not a play, but we're reading a lot of his sonnets, and they're very, very pretty, and they're really nice, and I love them. So I'm looking forward to reading more of those.
Yeah, I loved reading Shakespeare in high school, and I loved the sonnets. Thought they were really beautiful.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting to analyze them on a deeper level now in like a college class. Because I did, I loved reading them in high school. I'm pretty sure if you go back through the Bound by Books archives, you can see me systematically talking about this. Today we started reading Romeo and Juliet, and today we started reading Hamlet, and today we started reading Othello. Yeah.
Yeah, I know there's also a new adaptation of Macbeth coming to theaters this year that looks really good, with Denzel Washington as Macbeth and Frances McDormand as Lady Macbeth.
I can't believe I forgot Macbeth. I like that one as well.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I have a comic version of that one.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And a comic version of Romeo and Juliet. I think I like the art in the Macbeth one, though, better.
I don't think I've read a comic version of Shakespeare. I've definitely seen a lot of movie adaptations. I personally like the Bollywood ones. Those are fun. Are you more into the tragedies? Have you read any of the comedies?
I definitely like the tragedies more. The comedies are all right. I feel like they were probably funnier during the time when they were like actually put on and performed. I find myself reading them and I'm just like, I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea what is supposed to be funny. I'm really confused. Mm-hmm. So I do prefer like the tragedies.
Well, I hope that class is fun.
Yeah.
And interesting. I'm curious how different it'll be from your studies in high school, like what more insight you'll get into them all and into his life.
Yeah, I'm excited since we're starting out with the sonnets, where Shakespeare in high school was just like one unit or module. This whole class is focused on him. So it should be fun.
That sounds great. Well, how about you, Georgia? What did you want to talk about today?
Well, so the way I discovered this sort of has a backstory. So yesterday I was on a reading site or a reading app called Epic for kids.
Oh no.
No, Georgia. Hopefully that she'll come back soon. We lost Georgia. Let's see if she gets back really soon. Otherwise I'll talk about some stuff.
Well, I have an interesting question. You've never talked about books you don't like. And I was wondering if you had any books that you especially did not like. Because we always say books we love, books we hate, and then we never talk about the books we hate. Unless you get me off on, you start talking to me about Old Man and the Sea. And I set off on that.
I'm sure there have been books that I've disliked. She's back.
I'm back. I am so sorry.
That's okay.
I accidentally turned my computer off. I am so, so sorry. Okay.
I'll get back to Amelia's question after you're done talking about your book.
Yeah, let's pick up where Georgia left off.
Yeah.
Okay. I have this reading site called Epic. It's for kids, like, I'd say I'm probably the oldest age for Epic. Like, I think the oldest age for Epic would probably be 11 or 12. So pretty much I was searching for books, and there's this book that kept coming up where I searched graphic novels. Because I love graphic novels, if you didn't know that. I'm not readers. Listener, oh my gosh, I'm just a mess today. Okay, so, sorry, I did judge a book by its cover. This book, the cover is a bunny who has hair, wearing a hearing aid with shorts, a tank top, and a superhero cape flying. So I sort of judged it by its cover and thought it was a book, like a picture book for my sister's age. My sister's 4. So I thought, like, oh, maybe I'll read this and see if it's good for my sister. And so I started reading it, and then I realized it's really a 246-page graphic novel, and it is super good. This is my new favorite graphic novel. It's called El Defo. I'll read the description on here. I don't know if it's the real description, but going to school and making new friends can be tough, but going to school while wearing a bulky hearing aid, that requires superpowers. So I really like this book because it's actually based off of the author's personal experience, like, as a kid. As it's like sort of a personal narrative, but the fun thing about it, though, is it's told in all the characters are bunnies with hair and who wear clothes. So it really adds a lot of lightheartedness and fun to the story. It really is fun, like, watching all the bunnies talk. And the bunnies look exactly like humans, except they have ears. Every character is a bunny. It's really fun. So I'd read it a, let's say, Googleplex out of 100. Probably my second favorite book.
Oh, wow.
It's really good.
Yay.
Or no, one number before Googleplex. I don't know
what. So your first, your favorite book is a Googleplex out of 100?
Yeah.
So that's one less than that.
My favorite book is Tangled Up in Luck by Merrill Wyatt. Hmm. It's really good.
Yeah, I read El Defo.
You need to read it.
I haven't read that one yet, but I did read El Defo a long time ago, so I don't remember it very well, but I do remember liking it a lot.
By Emily. Yes. Read Tangled Up in Luck.
Okay.
Your world.
I think my to-read list is too big to add to it, though. Somebody told me I can't add any more books to my to-read list until I finish some more of them. Somebody wise once told me that. Wonder who that could be.
That was totally not me.
Well, I have a couple books I could talk about. One I'm not going to really talk about, but just mention that it's out, is that the second Katie the Cat Sitter book is out. And I loved the first one, and the second one is really fun as well. But I feel like it's hard to talk about the book without spoiling the first one. But basically, Katie the Cat Sitter is about Katie, who becomes a cat sitter, shockingly. But she's a cat sitter for a neighbor who has like hundreds and hundreds of cats. And the cats show themselves to have some very special skills. And meanwhile, there's also like superheroes and supervillains. And Katie's kind of trying to figure out what's going on with that, and also trying to raise money because she wants to go to the summer camp that her friends are going to that she and her mom can't afford. So that's why she's cat sitting for the summer, but she also makes some new friends and learns to skateboard. And so a lot of this stuff is tied into the second book as well, but it's really fun. And it just came out this month. So
is it a graphic novel?
It is.
I'm in.
It's really good. So highly suggested. And I read another comic over, or graphic novel over the break, which I know, I'm pretty sure that Georgia has read, called Primer. Did you read that one? It's another, it's like a superhero book.
Primer.
About a person that has like special paints that give them special powers.
Yes, I love Primer. Primer is so good. I love Primer. That one's really good too. I just love that one.
I don't know if there's a sequel to Primer.
Oh, wait. I was the person who told you to read that.
I was pretty sure you did.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
That one's fun. I forget the character's name, but it's a young woman who...
Ashley,
who's been hopping from foster family to foster family, and she settles in with a new family who she seems to really click with. And then one day she comes upon some paint that, when put on her body, like when it makes contact with her, it gives her different powers.
Like a primer coat on a painting. Yep.
And so again, I don't want to give away too much about the plot on that one, but it's sort of a cool origin story for a superhero who I hope there's more books about, but I haven't come across sequels. I'll have to look it up after the show.
I am hoping, but I do not think so, sadly.
And then one other book I'll talk about is The Turtle of Oman by Naomi Shihab Nye, who I've only read her poetry before. I'd never read a novel by her, so I don't know how many novels she's written even. But it's a really nice middle grade novel about a kid named Arif Ella Amri, who lives in Oman in Muscat, which is the capital. And his family's planning to move to Ann Arbor, Michigan, because his parents are going to attend grad school there. And he really doesn't want to move. He loves where he lives, and he's going to miss both like the place where he lives, but all of the people there as well, and his friends. And so he's really procrastinating on packing his suitcase. His dad has already left for the States, and his mom is trying to get him to start packing so that they can go eventually to meet their dad in Michigan. And he's struggling to pack because he doesn't want to go. And then the mom calls the grandfather, his beloved grandfather, to come and help inspire him to pack. But instead, the grandfather takes him on an adventure, and they go and travel a little bit and see some nice spots and have some nice experiences as a way of gathering some memories to like bring with him to Michigan. And I just spent my holidays in Oman, so it was really fun reading this book while I was traveling there. And then I finished it up after I got home, but it was nice reading about some of the places that I saw. And I can see why he wouldn't want to leave there for Michigan. Not that Michigan's not nice. Sure, Michigan's lovely. But Oman's a really beautiful country. People are very friendly there.
Where's Oman?
It's in the Middle East.
Is Abu Dhabi in Oman, or am I completely wrong?
Abu Dhabi is part of the United Arab Emirates, which is shares a border with Oman.
Not completely wrong, but
they're nearby. So my sister is living and working in Abu Dhabi, so we went to that area for the holidays. So we spent some time in Abu Dhabi, some time in Dubai, and some time in Oman.
I was only asking because I know that you went to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. But this was a very, very nice book. And I'm curious if I haven't checked to see if she's written other novels, because again, I've only read her poetry before, and I've really liked her poetry. It does look like she has some other books. Cool. We'll have to check that out. Yeah, I read one last year called Castaway, Poems for Our Time, which I really liked. And we have some picture books of hers at the library too. But yeah, those are my book shares for this week.
Awesome.
All three were very good. So Amelia asked me a question while we were missing Georgia, because you got kicked off accidentally or signed out accidentally. And so she was talking about how at the beginning of the show, we always say books we love, books we hate, bookish things. And she was asking if I ever hated a book. Or if I ever have books I hate, because I don't really talk about books I hate.
I know that Amelia has one.
Yeah, she mentioned that. and I guess the answer is, like, I don't know if hate's a strong word. I've definitely not liked books that I've read before. Usually
Ooh,
for
give us the juice.
I can't really remember, because for picture books, because I read a lot of picture books, they're short enough that if I don't like a book, or sometimes you don't know you don't like a book until the end of the book, because it just doesn't have a satisfying ending. So with picture books, I'll often finish them even if I'm not loving them at the start, because you know, you give it time. It's not much time. So I've definitely read some picture books that I wasn't like fond of, but like were fine. The only picture book I think I've ever read that I would come close to saying I hated was, there was a book that we used to have in the collection here that eventually I think got lost, and it wasn't me. That was a Strawberry Shortcake book that was so awful. And there was a girl that lived locally that liked to come into the library and always asked me to read it. Like every time she was in, she wanted me to read this book to her. And it was painful.
What was it about? What did you not like about it?
It was a long time ago. I think somebody was having a party and they were delivering a letter or letters to all the friends that they wanted to come to the party. But I think it felt like an ad for Strawberry Shortcake. And that's what I didn't like about it. But also there was a character named, Fig Boot.
Fig Boot.
And it was really hard to remember because it looks like Bigfoot, but it's Fig Boot. And it drove me crazy because I every time I looked at the word, it just seemed wrong.
Fig Boot.
Fig Boot is the name of a character in the book. So that
Fig Boot or Fig Boot?
Fig Boot. Like fig, like the fruit. Weird. And boot, like the thing you wear on your foot. So it was like Bigfoot, but Fig Boot.
Weird.
So it was
Big boobs.
It just seemed wrong. And then I think it was mostly that it just felt like an ad for Strawberry Shortcake characters. And, well, and there's so many amazing books to read. So like the fact that I had to read that book over and over was too much.
Wait,
sorry.
What if that girl who you read to is watching right now?
Well, she's older now, so I think if I would be happy to talk with her about all of the misery she put me through. But I did it for her because I cared. She was cool. So that's with picture books. I feel like there's not many that I like would say that I hate. But with novels or like longer works, I feel like I often just don't finish them. Like if I'm not liking them, I can usually figure that out pretty early on, and then I just stop reading them because life's too short for bad books.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of good books out there. So
my mom, when she's reading a book, when my mom is reading a book, she doesn't like, she insists on finishing it, and I just don't understand why you would do that to yourself.
Poor mama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there were some times that I read books that I didn't like when I was doing like a specific reading challenge where I felt like I was in far enough that I wanted to just finish it so that I could count the book.
Well, yeah, but that makes sense if it's a reading challenge. My dad, I actually don't know if it was my dad or my mom that found it, but I found this printed out this morning on our dining room table, what looked like a book challenge where you had to read a book that was written in the year that was published the year you were born, another one that was maybe over two decades old, another one that you should have read in school, one that has a certain word in it, like a color or an animal in the title. And I thought it looked interesting.
Yeah, I find those challenges are fun ways to like try new things out.
Yeah, I like challenges with that more than like challenges that are like you just need to read this specific number of books, because those feel stressful and more like a deadline than something fun, and it makes it hard for me to read.
Yeah, but yeah, the one that I'm thinking, I can't remember the title or specifically what I didn't like about it, but there was one that I read for a challenge that was like what you're describing, and it was a nonfiction. It was a memoir, but it wasn't like a straight on memoir. It had something to do with like traveling somewhere abroad, and I just felt like I didn't like the author narrator. Felt like he was annoying, and I don't know, I just didn't write like taking that traveling experience with him. I wanted off the trip. I don't know if George is trying to talk to us.
I don't know either, but she is.
You're
on
trying
mute.
To talk to us.
Georgia, you're on mute.
Oh, I thought you were saying Amelia was trying to talk. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
You're like, here I am rambling on while Amelia's trying to talk.
And I was like, who, what? Oh, I'm sorry.
We just lost an epic amount of dialogue from Georgia. I was like, she's either talking to someone else or doesn't know she's on mute.
What was I just saying? Great. I lost my train of thought. Woohoo. Oh, right. You better not go on trash talking the authors, because they might be listening, or readers might like... Oh my gosh, I keep calling them readers. Listeners might like that author.
Well, I think a good author knows how to take criticism.
Well, yeah.
No, not
but
everyone is going to like your work.
Well, they're bad authors, so I'm kidding, they're not bad authors.
Although I think there's also a difference between not liking someone's book and not liking someone, and I think part of what I didn't like about his book was his own character, so that one's maybe a little more personal. I won't say his name, but I also don't remember his name because I've blocked that book from my memory, aside from the, I could probably describe the cover, but I'm not going to. It's a book for adults anyways, and this is a kid's show, so.
Tell me after the show.
Any bookish things anyone wants to report on? We've talked about books we love and books we hate, but we haven't talked much about bookish things. I guess sonnets and plays and movies.
Yeah,
we
I think they count.
About. That counts.
It's literature.
I shared my book.
Huh?
And I shared my book.
Yeah, book you love.
Yeah, true.
Yep.
Okay, bookish things. What are some bookish?
I don't know.
Oh, I have a bookish thing.
What?
I saw my first semi-4D movie that was the new Spider-Man movie. We went to a theater that has 4D, except because of COVID, it didn't have